Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/modern. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Star Wars Book Club podcast. I am your host, Blake Schultz. With me, as always, is Tyler Barry.
Hey, let's hope I don't have mic issues like last week. Apologies for that, guys.
It happens, man. One out of five, every now and then.
Yeah.
And Harley Salbaca.
See, this is why I just don't touch the mics. I just talk into them.
It's not a bad strategy. Nothing could go wrong.
You can't get in trouble for that. Only I can get in trouble for fucking things up like that.
Oh man, how's everybody doing this week?
Good
week.
Nothing bad. No complaints, with the exception of watching two prequels yesterday.
Oh
with
god,
you crazy kids!
So we did that all together.
It was a bonding experience.
It was something. It was almost a breakup experience for this show, is what it was.
Where Tyler secretly stuck more alcohol into my juice.
Yeah, that was funny. When she wasn't looking. Way worse than it should.
We were all just hanging out, getting hardly drunk.
And ourselves.
Hey, guys, don't make it sound like it's just getting me drunk. That sounds really bad.
Yeah, phrasing, bro.
Oh, man. But anyways, we had a lot of good Star Wars stuff going on this week. So many new books after that week off. We all of a sudden had, like, four come out in a day, and then two come out last week.
Yeah.
It was an explosion.
Back-to-back Shattered Empires.
Which actually happened.
Yeah, because four comes out this next week.
Mm-hmm. That's insane.
I'm so excited.
That never happens with miniseries or comics. Just for them to...
no doubt.
Thank you, Star Wars comic book gods.
I know. Oh, well. But before we get into some comics, we also, guys, watched the pilot of the Star Wars Clone Wars, which may be a little old hat to some people, but I know we hadn't quite gotten around to it. And I thought it would be fun to go back and tread some old water, since that was one of the few things that survived the mind wipe of the Star Wars EU.
Right.
What did you guys think, and why did you guys think it took so long to jump on this bandwagon?
For me, I know it took a little while. I mean, I started watching... I've seen some of the episodes. I actually hadn't watched the pilot. Weird. I'd seen some of the episodes... But it took me a while. I remember when it came out. And I have one of my good friends who I've known, probably my longest friend, since we were about eight. And we both are huge Star Wars nerds, Doctor Who nerds, and whatnot. And I remember when Clone Wars came out, and she was like, "We have to watch it." And I was like, because I looked at the animation, and it just didn't... I was kind of just like, I didn't really dig the like CGI... animation style at all. Like, I really didn't like it, so I didn't watch it with her.
Yeah.
She was very upset with me.
And that was one of those shows that kind of started that, like, transition from 2D to 3D animation.
Yeah.
So the first episodes, look like they're still kind of trying to find their footing a bit in in the realm.
Yeah, so I know it took me a while because I didn't dig the animation.
Yeah.
And finally I had a 7-year-old tell me over and over and over again that I needed to watch it. And so I said, yeah.
There you go.
Then I watched it. But I know, I liked the pilot. What took you so long, too, Tyler?
I didn't like the art style.
Yeah.
I still don't. I didn't really like the pilot that much.
Yeah.
I liked the Yoda fight. Like, that was the only highlight of that pilot for me.
The pilot was a really slow burn, which was weird. And the main reason I actually didn't watch it for so long, and I've seen all of season one like a year or two ago. I don't remember a lot of it, though. But I remember, like, one, it started with that Clone Wars movie that came out that, like, bridged the gap, and it was just not good. And so I think when they were like, "We're spitting out a TV show from this," I was like, "Oh, no, we're not having any of that." But it's also hard with, I mean, cartoons, when you're at a certain age... There's that line of when is it actually just, like, childish, and when are they making, like, a kid-friendly show that adults can watch. And I, again, that art style really made it feel like it was just a kiddie show for a very young audience.
Well, and a lot of the things that happened in the episode made it feel like a really kiddie show. Like the droid voices are
terrible.
Yeah,
at least to me.
I mean, I can't stand them. Obviously, this is all opinion, but I just there's just a lot of things. There's more things that took me out of it than kept me in it.
But I think it really was geared towards kids.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
For
definitely.
Sure. So, I mean, I know that with Rebels, from what I've heard, I haven't watched much of Rebels. In the long run, that one really does a really good job of having, like, the adults and the kids being able to really watch together and enjoy it and get a lot from it.
Yeah.
With the, like, extended universe stuff. But for Clone Wars, I'm pretty sure this is mostly for kids. I remember what time it was on TV. The time it was on TV was, like right after you get out of school kind of timing, so.
Yeah, I just expected a little bit more, like something a little bit more like in the middle, yeah. Like of being geared toward kids or adults, because so many people I know watched it and so many adults that are older than me I know have watched it and rave about it, but I don't know.
This is also like, I think this is their first time trying to do like a continuous like Star Wars cartoon.
Well, they did the other Clone Wars in between 1 and 2, maybe after 2, but it was the 2D animated one, and that one was a little bit more gritty, because that was the one where you had, like, Mace Windu force wreck the lungs of General Grievous, and it had his whole backstory of what happened to him.
Well, but Mace Windu is just a badass.
Yeah, and I know that one was a little bit more, like, for the older fans, and... But that only lasted like 2 seasons.
Yeah, it didn't last nearly as long as this iteration of the Clone Wars did.
But I don't know if it was also meant to. I feel like they did that one as a, like, here's a little bit to warm you up for the movie. Where this was then being like, we need a Star Wars cartoon on forever.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I want to keep watching it because, like I said, the Yoda parts were badass.
Yeah, dude.
But everything else, I just... There just wasn't any redeeming... storylines from the episode besides
Yoda. Well, it was such a
Yoda.
Slow episode.
And for only being like 21 minutes long, yeah, it's like, not much happened, that's
for
sure.
Not much happened. But I think it had some good moments for sure. Obviously, we love watching Yoda run around being a badass, because how can someone so cute be so badass? I love it. But also, the part with him and the clones, when he had them like take their helmets off, and he like told them, you may be clones, but you're individuals. And, like, you think on your own, and you're different people. And I thought that was a really good moment.
Yeah, well, that's what I liked a lot about it, was they didn't really waste any time getting into the, like, philosophies in Star Wars and some of the mythology and, like, themes from mythology and philosophers and even religions that are in there. Mm-hmm. Just him, like, taking the time to meditate and being, like, find your center, find your focus. So even when it looks like this, like, there's a lot of, like, really big stuff from... Like, big ideas and big themes that they packed into that, and I liked that.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm sure that that's more in there. I know down the road, they really get into, like, are the clones people? Are they just cannon fodder? Are they a transaction? Do they have a consciousness? And, like, that kind of stuff is really interesting to me. So maybe it might just take it a while to get its shape.
I think it would be interesting also, because the droids are really, like, comedic. We were talking about that when we were watching it, how they're, like, super comedic and like really cheesy, and I'm sure that's for the kids. Like, I want to watch this with a kid and see how they take it.
Yeah,
that'd be an interesting thing to do.
Okay,
well, like, watch it with like someone it a little who's, like, bit. Seven it made or it eight. 6 seasons and only stopped because Disney got the rights back.
The 7-year old who told me over and over again that she's like, you have to watch it, Harley. She like has watched all of Clone Wars, all of Rebels. She's obsessed with Rebels. Like, has like she'll bring toys to show me that are Rebels toys. Like. So they're doing something right for the 7-year-olds.
Well, they're definitely, I was going to say, they're definitely hitting the demographic they're trying to hit, because you always see Clone Wars merchandise and shirts. Mm. And that's the one thing I do like. Like, I was in a Target the other day, and I remember just like passing by one of the aisles, and they had like 2 like young girl like pink shirts that both just said like, may the force be with you. And the other one said something Star Wars. And I remember being like, I like that.
And I bought both of them.
I got both of them for myself.
That makes sense.
But I remember being like, oh, this is awesome. Like, when I was growing up, that you would never see that. Mm-hmm. That's not a thing that would have even had a thought to exist. But now with this show, and people who grew up showing a younger audience, you're getting a broader, bigger demographic. It's not just the people who watched it in the 70s. You're having more diversity in your demographics.
I think it's great. I think that's something we've touched on before, is that, like, really, Star Wars is for everybody. And, like, you have the generation of the people who watched it as kids, who are now having kids, who are then, their kids are watching all the cartoons. Yeah. And then, like, us, where, I mean, at least for me, like, my parents, it was, like, their first date was to see Empire.
Right.
So that's why I was raised on it, is because it was important to them as adults, even. Right. Young adults. So it's like we have all these generations spanning for Star Wars, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it was a really... But I feel like if I was a kid, I feel like that pilot would have still been real slow. Like, there was not a whole lot that really went down. Like, outside of the Yoda stuff, I feel like it would have been, like, getting bored. Yoda's doing things again. Bored. Yoda's doing stuff again. Like, they didn't really develop the new dark Jedi. They didn't really develop why they were there.
Oh, I liked her.
I liked her. She looked really cool, but, like... Cool. She didn't do too much. Like,
she just broke phones.
She just, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Breaking phones and yelling at stupid droids.
She gets mad at him and she breaks his communicator, not her own. She gets mad at him and breaks his. And I was just like,
well, yeah, because his was talking to Yoda and she doesn't want Yoda to be doing
like,
well.
She's like, be on my side or else break your phone.
Yeah, that would be a pretty convincing argument for a lot of people these days.
Hey, phones are expensive,
no.
Dude.
I know.
If I was him, I would have been like, whoa, no, I'm definitely not going to be on your side, bitch. You just broke my phone. You broke my phone.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was definitely... It was a pretty average episode.
It was a pilot, yeah. So...
It wasn't prequels bad.
Oh, God.
Well, we'll have to watch. Next time we watch it, let's watch like two episodes in a row.
Yeah.
Plus, we have to watch the Order 66 ones.
Oh, yes.
No, plus, we have to watch Rebels, because I drunkenly bought that.
Yes.
Yeah, best message I got last week. Tyler being like, hey, guys, so I bought us Rebels.
Oh, man. So, do you guys have any other thoughts on this first episode?
No, I mean, I really want to watch the next few, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I don't want to crap on the pilot and then not give the rest of it a chance, because that would be not doing my job as being part of this podcast. So, yeah, I didn't really like the pilot, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to like the rest of it. So, I definitely want to keep watching it.
Yep.
Yoda was so cute and badass.
He is fun.
Yeah, he's awesome.
You gotta watch more. All right. Well, I think we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some Chewbacca. Welcome back from our little break. We're here with some more Star Wars Book Club goodness, diving right on into the newest miniseries from the Star Wars books. Chewbacca, issue one, landed this week. And
Chewbacca.
What an issue it was, my friends. What an issue it was. What were your guys' first impressions?
I guess this is just the Tyler B negative episode, because I hate to say it, because I was super stoked for it and I love Chewie as a character, but I didn't like this issue almost at all. The art is beautiful. No doubt. They all every Star Wars book so far has hit the nail on the head with its art style, but the dialogue sucks, dude. Like, I don't really like the dialogue at all. And before you say anything, I know Chewie doesn't speak. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I forgot her name already.
The little girl
main character. Yeah.
Yeah.
Her dialogue's just bad, dude. Like, yeah. It's not good.
because I
don't like it at all.
I like the idea of having a Chewie book and having Chewie help this little girl, which is the whole idea.
Oh, yeah. I like the premise.
But, like, okay, same thing happens with, like, the Groot series, where it's, like, all he can say is, I am Groot, so you have to have someone as a translator. And the thing is that Han and Chewie together, Han wasn't necessarily translating. He was just responding, and then if someone asked him to, he would. And I think that's probably, that's a really hard thing to write well. Like, it's really difficult writing an entire script where basically one character can't talk.
Yeah. Well, I thought they had a really challenge in that, because, like, she kind of, when she approaches him, she's like, you can help me, and he kind of just, like, grumbles and is on his way. And at first I was like, oh, this is going to be really exciting, because I bet he's going to end up really liking her, and we're going to figure out, like, kind of how he communicates. But instead of really, like, jumping on that or making any choices to really show, like, Chewie communicating in any way besides growling, which obviously he's had to do at some point in his life, they sort of just had him, like, poke at the ship he was working on until she mentioned the Empire and he freaked out and then just picked up his bowcaster. And I was like, oh, that's all we're going to do to, like, kind of dive into who Chewbacca is? We're just going to give him, his only motivation is, like, Empire bad! Bowcaster! Yeah.
And that felt a little...
forced?
Like, uninspired? Well, lazy?
Simplistic. It made him seem very much like a...
a brute.
Yeah, like a caveman character.
Which he's not.
Which he's not. And one of the reasons I was so excited for the series is because, like, Chewbacca and the whole Wookiee race, they're highly intelligent. We can't understand what they're saying, and they're definitely terrifying. But, like, because they're so much bigger and stronger than, you know, we are. But, like, they're a highly intelligent species who, like, are these geniuses, basically. They're, like, engineering geniuses, and that's why he's around. And that's what I really want to dive into. And I like the whole, like, helpy little girl, but I wanted to see him like that. And I thought maybe, instead of going, like, full, like, Groot with it, where you don't have him talk, I thought maybe we'd hear some internal dialogue.
That's what I was hoping for.
That's,
like,
what I thought maybe they're gonna do, because I was like, okay, we're gonna do a Chewbacca book. Yes. But I hope, I'm like, so they can't be just him being like, and making noises. It's gotta be some interior dialogue stuff too. Even though people don't understand what he's saying, I want to hear his voice.
And they had
too.
The right genre for that, because they pitched this as a Western. And I was like, oh, and in my head, for whatever reason, I was like, they're going to set it up as Chewie either being, like, quote unquote, the sheriff, or, like, quote unquote, like, the rogue who comes in.
I thought he was going to be the Dirty Harry character.
Right. And in, like, all these old Westerns, they are, like, really slow paced. Like, you see all the emotion just kind of through how they carry themselves, how they express themselves, how they dress, how they move, like, how they work with their eyes. And I was like, oh, obviously you're going to pick a Western, because Chewie can't talk. And I didn't feel like this was a Western very much in this book either. Like, I kept kind of reading it and being like, when am I going to get that good, the bad, and the ugly vibe? Yeah. Or that, like, Tarantino vibe even? Or
it's definitely not there in the first issue. Like, I know it's, like, a setup issue, but it doesn't feel like it's set up very much.
Right. And, well, and that's the other thing, too. Like, we've talked about miniseries a lot on this podcast, because we've been getting a lot of them, and there's a lot of strengths to doing it. But one of their weaknesses is you don't really get to pussyfoot around all that much. And this issue, I was like, well, we just burned, even if you're calling it, like, a five-act structure, you just burned your first act.
With almost no stakes at all.
There were no stakes. Mm-mm. It was just the girl being like, something bad's going to happen to my dad in this town. And then we spent like 3 pages of Chewie at the bar being like, and then he was watching her. That was the other reason I thought that he was going to, like, really come to her aid.
Yeah, because he watched her for a while.
And that was the other good, like, Western beat I was waiting for, was when they're at the first place, when he's buying the part he needs for the ship. And she's like, no, help me out, help me out, help me out. And he's just kind of like, turning his shoulder, I was like, oh, we're gonna get that Western moment where now he's gonna step in and be like, you don't do that, and they're gonna be like, get out of here, newcomer, and he's gonna be like, I'm gonna change this town or something.
I didn't really understand also why she was attached to him, like why she asked him for help.
I know, she just hid by him. It all seemed very happenstance.
I mean, kind of the dialogue she used is, she was just like, well, I thought you were like, like, I just need someone who's, like, big and strong, like a brute, to, like, help intimidate like these people, basically. That's kind of what she was drawn to, which...
At the same time, though, he's so... Wouldn't he scare a girl, a little girl? I don't know.
Well, not when she's scared of everything else, and he's the only thing that's been around not trying to kill her or deceive her.
Yeah.
He's the new guy in town, so she doesn't know yet. He's just roding in.
Yeah. And it's not like he's done anything to, like... It's not like he's killed anyone that she's seen or anything, so she doesn't really have a reason to be scared of him necessarily.
Yeah, he hasn't ripped anybody's arms off yet.
That's true.
So
yeah. It's just like, and all her dialogue was like expositional to the point of just like being lazy almost. Like,
yeah,
like when they're walking out of that bar, and she's like, "Oh, that's so cool that you won all that money playing that card game that my dad also played, and he lost all of his money all over the planetary system, and now he owes all this money, and that's why he's down in the beetle mines or whatever." I'm like, dude, what?
Thank you, Captain Exposition.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I mean, the guy who's Duggan, who's writing it, I think, though, the only other thing that I mostly have read by him was Deadpool. I know that he's popular for writing Deadpool.
Yeah.
And that's, I could see hints of that here.
Okay.
And, like, I think going from writing Deadpool to writing a kid, that's so different.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point.
And I'm sure this is a big challenge, too, again, because one character doesn't speak, but also going, like, Deadpool's, like, going crazy around, like, being crazy, and talks kind of like that, just nonstop.
Yeah, because it's a joke. He talks expositionally, he breaks the fourth wall all the time. Like, you're right, that is kind of weird. Yeah, going, that's like a complete 180.
So it's like a big, and I forget what else he wrote that I've read, but that's the one that I remember.
Infinity Gauntlet, Secret Wars.
But see, the first three issues of that were actually really good, but at the same time, he had a whole cast of characters to speak. Where in Deadpool, it's also, again, mostly Deadpool talking.
It's also most... And the other reason that when you were talking about internal dialogue, that would have worked from somebody who's done Deadpool, because that's a big part of how Deadpool communicates with the readers. So why not do anything to see what's going on?
It could be also that... I mean, we don't know what the Star Wars powers would be if they're like, hey, he can't talk. Like, we're going to keep it like it is in the films where people can't understand him except for Han.
That's fine, but there's so many ways. I mean, we had a silent movie era. Like, we've told stories without dialogue a million times.
Yeah, and Chewie's definitely action-based.
Yeah.
That's how we know what he's...
And you have such a good artist that it's almost disappointing to not see any emotion or characterization through... Like, a really good example of a great comic with no dialogue is the Batman and Robin issue after Damian dies, and there's no dialogue in that entire issue, but you understand everything that's going on and what's being said to you through the visuals, because it's a visual medium.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a really big artist to work on a character that's going to be visualized in the way he's going to communicate, and all you really do is have him tinker at a ship, watch a girl from, like, a bar... And then, like, yell and pick up your gun. It's boring. It makes it dull, and it makes that character dull. And the other thing that I was really kind of, like, raised an eyebrow about was the ending of this book when, like, the threat shows up, which I know is a very, like, comic booky way to end an issue, is to, like, the last
especially
page
like
be
issue
like,
one.
Right. Is to be like, say, what? Here's the bear. But usually when they do that, it's something like, I won't spoil it here, but the way Amazing Spider-Man 1 ends with that big, like, oh my god, that's happening. Or even, like, Iron Man issue 1 ends with the one Spider-Man reference.
Okay.
I'm now tallying his Spider-Man references.
Right. Or even, like, the new Iron Man issue ends with that big reveal. And this one ended with, like, a random general that we've never met just sort of being like, we're here to do Imperial stuff. And I was like, but that's not a reveal. We knew the Imperials were coming.
Yeah, I guess I meant to ask you guys, because admittedly, you guys are bigger Star Wars experts than I would ever consider myself. But I was just like, I have no idea who that guy is. I didn't know if you guys did or not.
No, he's a new character.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I figured, because I didn't recognize him at all. But I was just like, this is a reveal, but it's not even a reveal that made me go, oh my gosh, that's awesome, or oh wow, that's gonna be crazy, because it doesn't mean anything to me right now. And I mean, that's fair, because you want to use these expanded universe miniseries to establish new characters and like right. yeah. don't just you're not just gonna recycle all the old villains of the past, but it you've got to be able to give me some kind of context for why I should be like, oh gosh, this guy is the guy, the yeah. villain for this miniseries, and we just right. didn't get that at all.
Or going back to how you make a Western usually, introduce your bad guy early and your hero early, and develop them both as they're both entering this new town. And then yeah. how you have the three, you have the town, the good guy, and the bad guy, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
yeah, no, you're right, man.
The book was, I just thought it was a little, especially in the wake of Lando, Leia, Star Wars,
Shattered
Vader,
Empire.
Shattered Empire. Yeah.
Kanan.
Kanan. Yeah. Everything's been hitting it out of the park. And then we got to this character
We jinxed ourselves, guys. Like, we yeah. were like, guys, all of them are so amazing. Well, every single one.
To be fair, we did say a couple of weeks ago that, like, I'll say it like this, but I don't really mean it like this. Like, a low point was going to come.
Right.
And not to mean, like, Chewie number one isn't a low point for what Star Wars and Marvel are doing together right now, because it's still leaps and bounds better than a lot of comic books
that's true.
That are out there today. But
yes.
in terms of how great the rest of the Star Wars miniseries and continuous books have been, this yeah. is definitely, like, the weakest, I guess that's a better term for it. It's the weakest everything we've gotten so far.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, they have 3 more issues. I think it's a 4 issue.
Is it 4 issue?
I think it's a 4 issue miniseries. So
it's
3
even
more
worse.
Issues.
yeah, gosh, man. You burned a quarter of your...
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot of heavy lifting for the next 2 issues.
That's a lot of heavy lifting.
But Phil Noto's art is gorgeous.
Oh, yes.
No, it looks great.
I just really love Phil Noto.
Yeah.
He's
no,
like
the art's great. I'm just always like, if I'm choosing between, and this is probably might just be me, be myself, if I'm going to choose between really good writing and really good art, I want
yeah.
the really good writing.
Me too.
I'm with you, man.
Like,
no doubt. I'm with you for sure.
Like, if when your strongest point is your art, I'm usually like, okay.
But, I can just go Google the art on the internet.
Right. I can, like, I know what these characters look like. I want a good story.
No,
well,
that's what we're
here for. Is we are reading good stories, and we're continuing all these amazing stories from the specific universe.
Yeah,
yeah. This isn't the Star Wars Art Club.
yeah, those losers down the road. I just pictured all of us, but like 10 times hipstery with
like Bizarro us,
yeah.
like Bizarro us.
We all have like scarves and afghans.
Harley's yeah. got like Harley's got like bleach blonde hair instead of red hair.
What? I'd have blue hair. Come on, guys.
That's true. Blue or purple?
Yeah, I'd go with like a blue teal. Yeah.
No, but you'd have the stark opposite of what you've got right now, which isn't something more flashy. It's something that everyone else has.
That's true.
Just bleach blonde
like,
hair.
Oh.
and you'd yeah. be super tan.
Oh God!
We'd have super.
How would that happen? I
super
can't
tight
tan.
Jeans and big purple belts. Those really lacy boots that
we'd
come
all
up
have,
to your calves.
We'd all have like full sleeve tattoos.
oh yeah, that lousy art club.
yeah, screw those guys.
On that note, we'll be right back, guys, with some Shattered Empire issue number 3. Hey guys, and welcome back to our third and final segment of the Star Wars Book Club podcast. We're going to get into some Star Wars The Shattered Empire issue number 3, which dropped this week. Is the third issue in our Shattered Empire mini series, and there's one more left. So guys, what did you think about it so far? First impressions.
I'm actually glad it came out on time.
I know, that was
nice. I was really expecting it not to, as we talked about last week.
And 4 is coming out on time this week.
So we hope. Is it for sure?
Yeah, it's coming out this week.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, I would know if it got delayed by now, so.
Right.
Yeah, it's coming out on time. I mean, it's a 4-issue miniseries. We just read issue 3. How are they going to wrap all this up in one more issue?
How are they going to, yeah.
Short answer, they're not.
Right. I really liked issue 3. I liked it a lot more than I liked issue 2. But I'm really concerned with how they're going to do anything with issue 4, really, that it, like, even is remotely a conclusion. Because they added so many plot threads into this issue on top of all of the other plot threads they've already had. And it really is starting to feel like this miniseries should just be an ongoing comic.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it, for sure. I feel like it should be an ongoing.
After that, I mean, are we going to talk about it? Like, after that big
slash
little reveal, like, really quick reveal with Princess Leia, it's just like, if you're introducing something like that, how, like, what are you going to, how,
and what
just
did
how?
That, what did that mean?
Like, yeah. Are we actually gonna spoil it?
I definitely wanted to get into it. And definitely kind of spoil it a little bit.
I think we should
bit.
Spoil
it.
I mean,
So if you haven't read it yet, skip ahead.
Yeah, skip ahead. I would
say. Or just go read the issue and come back.
Yeah. But if you're, for some reason you're not gonna read it, I would say skip ahead 4 to 5 minutes.
Yeah. This one will probably take us a minute or two or 5. So last warning, spoilers.
I'm
gonna give you a 3 count or 2 dry swallows.
Spoilers.
Go.
So, Princess Leia is on Naboo, and she is going to fight off Operation Cinder, which, as we know, is when the Empire is sending...
Cinder blocks to another planet?
Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly that. He's sending a mass army to what I believe was 20 planets, is what they said in the issue. So there's other people that are dying right now that the rebels just are like, but Naboo! So we'll see how that all goes down in issue 4. So Leia has asked, we need to fight them off. We don't have any defenses. We were demilitarized years ago, which is also something we should talk about. And then it's revealed that they still have some of the Naboo starfighters
from
the Phantom Menace in the same hangar.
Badass,
dude.
I was
so stoked. When the Queen was like, oh, by the way.
Yeah. How
they walk down into the room and they're all just sitting there.
And that was one of the best designed parts of the prequels were those Naboo starfighters.
So
I was really excited to see them again.
They're so sweet. And having Leia and Dameron's wife and the Queen all fly together, I was like, that's so fun.
It was so cool.
So epic. But
are you shocked that nobody died? I was waiting for somebody to die. In that
a little bit.
Yeah, I was too.
Every character except for Leia had a moment where they were like, tell this person I love them. Never mind.
I know, and but Leia was calm the whole time. Leia's like, basically they're being like, guys.
Bitch, I've got a movie coming out. I got this.
She's like, guys, shut up. We're all going to be fine. I got this. And I loved that. I was like, Leia.
But the big thing we were talking about is right before she gets into that, she goes through the doorways that open and reveal Darth Maul. And all she says is, do you feel that? I feel cold. And then we just see Darth Maul's face imposed over her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they opened the doors to, it was when they went to go see the Naboo starfighters, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you saw that was
crazy.
So I'm going to play super devil's advocate and just prep us for the idea that maybe that was just her feeling a presence and it was them reminding you of where we are.
Yeah.
And that it's not going to have anything to do with anything else.
Now that I could see
that's
that.
Out of the way.
Also, it could be just reminding us, being like, hey guys, remember Leia has the Force too and is going to be a Jedi?
That's a good point.
Because we haven't gotten to see her.
See, I went to a darker place. I feel like that means she has a connection to the dark side a little bit. That not only the Force, but she has that presence as well. And that's where I was kind of like, ooh. What if something bad? Because
she never obviously met him. So, but yeah, she felt that he had.
Well, he's still. It's canon that he's still alive and around, because if I believe it's in the Clone Wars that he comes back, gets whooped again. I think there's another story where him and somebody else go to fight Palpatine, and that doesn't go well either. And I think that was the last time we've seen him. And now he's just MIA. I'm not saying he's alive and going to pop up in Shattered Empire. But I think he's about. He's somewhere. Probably now he's dead because it's been decades. But
it's been a really long time. But I thought it was also just a hint of... Like, I didn't know what to think of it. I think just... I felt original impression was... Yeah, she has the Force. Like, hopefully this is our first little tiptoeing step into seeing her become a Jedi.
Now, what if he's picked 20 planets to go destroy? We see a little bit of Darth Maul. Obviously, the Emperor's up to something with all these planets. What if somehow something on the planet still has some sort of dark force presence, whether it be Darth Maul or like maybe Geonosis probably has one for like Dooku. What if that's what he's getting rid of? What if in his death, he's had like the presence of all of these Sith Lords at different planets? And if he's gone, he either can't control it or something else is going to go on with it. So now he needs to like cover his tracks. Like if he was planning some sort of, I don't know, way to cheat death that he had been obsessed with.
Interesting.
If instead of having like the Force Ghost like Qui-Gon did, he found a way to like keep their presence locked onto certain planets and could then do things like convince them to demilitarize really easily.
That's
hold back the power of the Jedi's on Coruscant. And well, now and
that,
he's
and that's something that like has been in just literature in general, that like when there's like spirits or ghosts, that lots of time they are attached to specific places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's a thing with like ghost folklore and stuff like that. I mean, and this is obviously a little different, it's spirits, but like
right.
That actually kind of
Wouldn't that be interesting? Wouldn't that be interesting? I feel like they're dropping so many things in these comics. Like they did it with Lando with the artifacts, they're doing it in Shattered Empire with this, they're doing it in Vader with all the other people that he's secretly training. Mm-hmm. That I'm just like, I need to jump like 5 years into the future when they've given us more answers of what all of this is.
When all of these comics are collected and there's multiple volumes for you to just burn through.
And I can just go on Wikipedia and be like, what was it? Why was Darth Maul there? Everyone loves him so much. He'll probably get a miniseries soonish. Now that we're getting into the prequel territory with Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Yeah.
Because we've been...
That'd be cool.
I'd be down.
I'd watch. I'd read it.
I thought he was super cool and terrifying as a kid. Definitely took like two of those like the wrapping paper
tubes,
and stuck them together and like taped them together to have.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I definitely did that.
Yeah, no, he was a really stand-up. People still really like that character. He's a cool guy.
I consider him the highlight of the prequels.
Yes, but yeah.
So yeah, that was a crazy reveal. Unfortunately, I kind of agree with Devil's Advocate, Blake. Like, it's probably not gonna factor into anything that happens in issue 4, but I want it to too.
I would love it to.
The fan in me wants it to, but the logic storytelling part of me knows that. That's just entirely, there's just no way that you're going to wrap up this story in any way and also squeeze in more about Darth Maul. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am.
I did like how this issue really did do a good job of like fusing together the prequels and the original trilogy in like a fun, not forced way though.
Like,
we're going to Naboo, we still see all that culture, we get a little bit of Darth Maul, here's the Naboo Starfighters.
And I liked the
They're going to go fight
queen.
TIE Fighters.
The Naboo
and
queen.
The queen?
She was great.
I think it's interesting that Palpatine demilitarized Naboo. Why would he do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
like that was
control.
That's true. He does like control.
So, control.
But he also likes armies and having people on his side. Because they weren't against him. Even when they were there, they were like, this was his planet. And
right.
We were sort of on that side. He kept us safe.
But they're like the little, cute Switzerland. They're like pretty, and everybody's happy there. They have they always have a young, youthful queen who takes care of her people. Like it's
yeah,
it makes sense that he'd be like, okay, I can control you easier because you can't threaten me or anyone else.
Oh, and the next issue's cover has Luke on it with Leia, which implies that Luke's going to... They're still on Naboo, right? They didn't, like, take off and go anywhere else yet. So if Luke gets there, maybe he'll be able to sense Darth Maul's presence and they'll go find something about it. Because he's a lot more Force-attuned than she is.
Yeah.
So if she walks through, it is just like, ooh, I'm cold. Luke will probably land and be like, hold up. Something's going down. I don't like it. And we're going to find out what it is. With me, Leia. Let Lando handle all the space stuff. He's so cool. I love when he just showed up and she was like, in the nick of time, eh? And he was like, well, princess, otherwise how would I have made an entrance?
I know.
That was awesome.
You're salty dog.
He's there being like, it's basically him still being like, Leia, I'm still hitting on you.
What up,
with every sentence
you belong with us in the cloud, but let's not become clouds, all right.
Okay, McConaughey.
I know, it always goes into McConaughey.
Every time.
Oh, Lando.
Let's hear your Lando, Tyler.
No.
Not even gonna try.
Nope.
I'm sure that he does it, just not around us.
Just alone.
Alone.
Yeah, by myself.
When he's like looking in the mirror.
Hey there, Tyler, you're looking good this morning. Thank you.
No, that's just how my that's my internal monologue. That's how that sounds.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, no, Shattered Empire. It was a good issue.
It was.
But again, I'm like concerned that overall the miniseries is going to kind of fall apart with issue 4 because I just don't know even really what the sort of the, like, maybe you guys have a better understanding of it than I do, but even like the central conflict of this book, I sort of don't know where we're trying to go or what story we're trying to tell anymore.
I think the story that they're basically following is just with Poe Dameron's parents.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's really what we're doing is we're following her and him. Like, we're following both of them. So we see Cass too and him with Han, and that was a big part of this issue. And I feel like that's what they've been doing since the beginning is at first you're following his mom, and now we're following both his dad and his mom. And for some reason, it'll link together at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing is that we're getting lots of great, like, EU nuggets.
We're getting a lot of little bits, but I want to know how they're all going
to
stitch together soon.
It's almost like maybe that is the point of this miniseries, is just for that. Maybe it's not supposed to tell a central, like, huge, important story in the realm of the Star Wars universe. Maybe it's really just supposed to be about this couple that ends up
having Poe.
Already had Poe, as was established in issue 2, but...
Yeah.
Because technically, the full title of this comic is really long.
Star Wars Journey to the Force Awakens, Shattered Empire... That's it, right?
Star Wars Journey to the Force Awakens, Shattered Empire. It's the
whole
title.
That's a long spiel.
A good portion of that is Journey to the Force Awakens.
Right.
For something that's a Journey to the Force Awakens, it is decades before that movie is going to happen.
So that means we'll get more Journey to the Force Awakens.
That means
Awakens.
We're going to have Star Wars Journey to the Force Awakens, something else.
And we already have that branding on the Aftermath trilogy is going to have three novels. They announced another book that the name's evading me when they announced the other two trilogies, or the other two books in the trilogy, rather. So there's definitely going to be a lot of that in the next 3 months until the movie comes out.
I want the Obi-Wan miniseries.
I really want the Obi-Wan miniseries.
That's really where I'm at.
Obi and Annie.
Journey to the Force Awakens, Darth Maul's Return.
Hey, I'm in.
I'm down.
It wouldn't be called Darth Maul's Return. It would be like Sith Lord Return. They would straight up say
he
Darth
teams
Maul.
Up with Boba Fett and they take all the characters.
It's also not going to happen. That's why I just made it the most obvious choice possible for the title.
That's going to be the twist. Know. Kylo Ren's going to take off his helmet in The Force Awakens and it'll be Darth Maul. But like old and withered.
Yeah.
Oh God, what if he has just like Darth Maul's horns somewhere that
he's
collected.
His horns are falling off.
They're like his, like, well, Kylo Ren collects everything.
Yeah.
Like, rumors that his helmet is Darth Vader's repurposed. What if he just had, like, a necklace of Darth Maul's, like, horns that are all on his head?
Oh, shit.
Or just, like, something from each Sith Lord. Like, he had, like,
That'd be kind of badass.
Wouldn't that be sweet?
I kind of would really
get George
take that.
On the horn. We gotta go do some reshoots.
No, we don't. We've been waiting long enough for this movie.
It's a little late in the game, guys. It's a little late in the game.
They can add it in post. He added so many things in post for decades.
But we have the new trailer dropping Monday.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, when you're listening to this, hey, guys, how was that trailer? What'd you think?
Yeah, and if you haven't
by the time you're
yet,
listening to this, it will be out.
During your Monday night football.
And you will hopefully have your tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I got my people on that.
What do you think we're going to see in the new trailer? Let's hit on that for a little bit, and then we'll get out of here.
I don't know. I'm so excited.
They've done such a good job of giving us everything and nothing. So I sort of feel like...
I was going to say nothing. We're not going to see anything in that trailer.
Yeah.
By that, I mean nothing that really gives us any semblance of what the actual plot's going to be.
I'm sure it's
going to which is good.
Brains.
I'm fine with that.
You'll probably see Finn with a lightsaber, because we had that little tiny Instagram video months ago. You'll probably see... I imagine this will be the Luke and Leia one.
I would say, I think this is when we're going to get to see
Luke and Leia. Maybe...
Darth Maul.
Maybe something... Darth Maul.
Leia as a Jedi.
I wonder if you'll see if this is going to be the one that shows us the aliens that we haven't seen yet. Like, we haven't seen Andy Serkis's guy.
Oh, I bet we don't see that until the movie,
dude. You think?
Oh, they kept that under wraps for so long. Yeah. You think they're just going to reveal it in a trailer? True. I really doubt it.
Maybe a little bit of story this time, just like a hair of what's going on.
I love the way they've been doing these trailers, because... I get so sick of seeing like 9 trailers and then knowing the entire plot of a movie. I love that they're not revealing a darn thing.
Like, did you guys see, I think it was with Age of Ultron, somebody stitched together in order all of the like scenes we had seen and put it on YouTube from the trailers, and it was something like 45 minutes of footage.
Wow.
Yep.
And if you watch that video, it was just like, here's the battle at Von Strucker's, and then this, it's Tony's dream, and then they're here, and they're here, and then they're fighting Ultron, and you were like, oh...
So the whole
this
movie.
This was the movie. Or even like The Dark Knight Rises kind of did that too, where all of a sudden you were like, oh, I see everything that's happening already. Great.
Yeah, that movie's not good anyway.
It's not great.
Great. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like it's gonna make our brains explode.
Oh, yes.
To be honest, I'm more worried about just getting my tickets. That's what I'm more excited to do that on Monday, if indeed it that's when if indeed the rumors are correct. I care more about getting my tickets than I do the trailer, to be honest with you guys.
Make some Google alerts about when they're going up.
Yeah, yeah. I have my people on it.
I mean, I'll be up editing this show anyway, so.
Internet page.
Should be happening. It's all going to go down soon. All right, well, unless y'all have some other final thoughts on anything, let's mosey on out of here.
Yes, sir.
This has been another episode of the Star Wars Book Club podcast. As always, you can follow us at facebook.com/Star Wars Book Club podcast, on Twitter at SW Book Club, or just, you know, Google Star Wars Book Club and you'll find it there. On Instagram at Modern Nostalgia, the name of our company with all of our podcasts and articles. So you can head on over to our website, modernnostalgiaproductions.com, and get up to date with all of my articles and reviews, Tyler's articles and reviews, Harley's articles and reviews. A lot of good stuff going on there.
Harley's to
come. You can find me personally at QuakeBorder55 on Twitter. You can find Tyler at...
I'm at the Tie Game on Twitter. And make sure to check out our other podcast that Blake and I do, Two Player Split Screen, all about video games. And then go on over to my other Facebook page for my sports podcast, The 51 Yard Line.
And you can find Harley at...
same on all platforms, at Miss Harley R for Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, all that fun stuff. I do book recommendations, reviews.
Cool. All right, guys. And with all of us, to you, have a good day.
Later.
Bye.